So I want you to stick around right after service for our worship team. We'll a meeting, and we're going to do it just in room two, and we may move if there's any to just go into room four. That's a lot more chairs. Go into room four, and that's if you're interested in the technical side of thing, in the back, or if you say, I could help do some of this, or maybe I play an instrument or used to sing, just any kind of things. I would need some training, really anything like that. We're glad, and we're not just talking about rehearsal. Look right at me. We're not talking about being a part of a rehearsal team, being part of, man, I want my heart ready, I want to grow together. And so we're kind of asking a little different. We're not asking for folks who want to, you know, we're not asking for pickers and grinners. We're asking, man, I want to do something that honors the Lord like this. And so even if you need, say, I need some training and polish, man, it's not a problem. We want you to do that. And we want to have a very biblical ministry in everything we do here. And so we're excited about that and glad. And I'm excited about what Miss Donna is going to help us, lead us with. And so make sure that you're there for that. And then we are going to probably try and video it because we do have some folks out sick today. We want them to be able to see it and see where we are and where we're headed and what we're going. How many of you are excited about the neat things God's doing at Hardin Valley Church? Say amen. Amen. You can stand with us if you would. We're also in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, and we'll look at that on the screen here. It's kind of our theme for the month. And Paul said to the church, says, this we did, not as we hoped, but we what? First gave our own selves unto the Lord, and then unto us by the will of God. If you want a real picture of what generosity looks like and commitment and devotion looks like, it is this way. You do it vertically first and then horizontally. And this is a picture of any church. There's a commitment to God, then a commitment to each other. I need you and we need each other. And so this is how he said, I'm thankful that you gave first to God and then each other. I need you and you need me and we need each other. This is generosity. And I think one of the things we get to see in generosity is in Mark chapter 12. You've got your Bibles open there, your tablets, your phones. Mark chapter 12, look at verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury. This would have been one of the 13 treasuries in the courtyard there at the great temple. What's the furniture store? I just lost my mind here. Kia's a car. What's that? IKEA, yeah. That's close. I just one letter off. So think of an IKEA store and a Sam's store and about half a Dollywood. And you're getting close to the circumference of the square footage there of the courtyards and all this massive kind of place. And he's there at one of these 13 treasuries. It says, and beheld how the people cast money in, and many that were rich cast in much. That makes sense. Verse 42. There was a certain poor widow. The detail is striking. He just says, many, rich, here, he zeroes in. This was a woman that was known, it's a certain one, and she was destitute, and she didn't have any help. She was a widow. And she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. We'll break that out in a second. He called his disciples and said to them, truly I say unto you that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. And I got the news for you. The disciples are astonished. For all they did cast into their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all of her living. I want to help us today as we kick off our generosity month. This is a great month. And as we watch God grow his children. So I want to help us today. About our generosity. So would you pray with me right now? Father, we love you and we need you this morning. I pray that you'd help us speak to our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would use us in these moments. Lord, we need you and we love you. I pray that you'd help me. Help me not be distracted. Let me put away the things that are clamoring for my attention even as I speak. I pray, Lord, you'd help us. Help us not put up any walls or help us not to put up any barriers. But Lord, we would be very willing to let you speak to us this morning. God, I pray you'd help us be generous with our time, our talent, our treasure, and our testimony. I pray, Lord, I wouldn't preach fearfully, Lord, I just preach boldly your word. Lord, I pray you grow your children. I pray you grow your church. I pray you grow your kingdom. I pray you'd help us love you more than we love our time, our talent, our treasure, and our testimony. We need you this morning. I pray you'd help us. Help me. Holy Spirit, use me and fill me. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Go back to that first slide there. Is something wrong with the slide or something? You can be seated. Thank you. You be seated. All right. Oh, yeah. There's all kind of things wrong with that slide. God cares for your generosity. God cares for your generosity. I'm smiling a little bit here because sometimes in the back it's like a Major League Baseball game. The catcher's flashing me one sign. I'm going, and flashing me another. And so maybe we just need to get a whiteboard and just hold it up and go, hey. I used to have an iPad up here, but then I figured out, some of y'all figured out that I had an iPad up here, and y'all would text me while I was preaching and all, and especially my wife going, wrap it up. And she didn't do that, but I would get text messages from people, and then I kept forgetting to cut off the alarms. This didn't have anything to do with sermon. This is for free. I kept forgetting to cut off the alarms, and so it was football season. It didn't bite me until the start of football, NFL football, and all of a sudden my ESPN app went, dun-na-na, dun-na-na. And I blew it off like it was one of y'all. And I'm, y'all need to cut off your phones, knowing full well it was the big dodo up front. And then about 3 minutes later, it went off again after everybody had cut their stuff off. And the only person who didn't make a move at electronics was me. And so I finally went over there and cut it off and all. And y'all, some of y'all that were here lost it that day. So I don't carry a lot of electronics with me anymore because of that, because y'all are sneaky and you text me. And tweet at me and all these kind of things. Maybe not y'all, but other people. Other people did. And there's people who are in other time zones who like doing that too. And if they can't think I'm online. So anyway, that's for fun. So that's not a problem there. I want to help us this morning. This is a fun week, fun month for me. This is our generosity month. Generosity month. Say, why is it fun? You're going to hear from other people starting next week. It's fun for me because this is a week when I start this, when I announce the topic, people are going, why'd I come to church today? Oh, man, he's talking about this stuff. And then other people are like, yes, yes, man, I can hardly believe it. Man, we get to talk about generosity and how good God's been to us and how good we get to be back to God. Yeah, man, I took the challenge a few years ago. Man, and you're right, you can't outgive God, and this is awesome, and we've had needs, and God's met them. Man, yes, give me some more, give me some more. I wish I'd have done this years ago. Yeah. Some of you are new, and you're going, what's this, generosity? Some of you are jaded. Some of you are jaded. You come in here and go, money, 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 money. Every church about money, 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 money. And it's proof now. It's proof. He's talking about it. He means money. He's saying generosity, but he means money. Money. We had to block some dude online. We had to block some dude online. He was wild. Wild. And he talked about how fat I was. That was okay. And then he talked about how ugly my wife was. And I'm like, if I show this to my wife, you're a dead man. And then he's like, and all you care about, and I reckon he thinks these flowers are gold. You've even got gold in front of your pulpit as you're a huckster. And didn't get anywhere close on the spelling. And anyway, you big fat pig. And anyway, and I was like, God bless you, whatever you hit, mute, block, dispose all. Anyway, but he had friends, so I had to block several people for a while, and it was great. And I'm like, and if you've got a new name and you're there, I'll block you later. But anyway, and bless your heart. And man, just ugly. It's funny to me, people being all profane, saying we're not real spiritual. God bless them. But you say this, man, people's emotions get all crazy. Get all crazy because, it's like somebody's hand is in your purse or your wallet or, give me your ATM card, and those kind of things. God, you can save my soul. You can help me lead my family, but you stay away from my ones and my fives. You leave me be. Don't you tell me about my time. Nope. Don't you dare. Talk to me about using my talent. It was fun. It was great last week. We left last week, and people just ran outside. It was amazing. Andre was talking about it for days. People ran outside going, let me sign up. I want to sign up. I want to tell the story. I'm write my name there. We had teenage boys sign up for the nursery. Get some of that. And amen. And I'm like, yeah. Andre said, what are we going to do? We're going to find them a partner, because no mama's going to walk up to a 12-year-old and go, here, if they hadn't slept in 2 days, it might, but anyway, I said, you know, we'll figure it out, man, I like that excitement, just use me, let me do something, some of you come up to me going, I don't know Miss Donna, but I wouldn't mind, but I can't sing, she said, it doesn't matter, she said, she can help you sing, I said, but I'm really bad, she says she's a good teacher, and the captain and I said, she likes a challenge, go to the meeting, and we're there, right? We're there. When we talk about this, people get all kind of crazy and kind of antsy, and it is what it is. I want to remind you a couple things as we get going here. I remind you, and we'll get right into the text here. I want to remind you, number one, our commitment is always first to God, and then to others. I mean, it's always first to God, and then the others. What's something really bad wrong with the slides back there, so I don't know what's going on. They should be a lot bigger. Our commitment is first to God, then the others. I don't know what's, we got some errors going on. That's all right. Our commitment's first to God. Remember this. This is what we get from 2 Corinthians 8:5. Our commitment's first to God, then to others. We have a commitment. We have a commitment to Him. Commitment to Him, our time, our talent, our treasure, our testimony. Remember, commitments are not automatic. Commitments are not automatic. No one is automatically committed. John Maxwell said for years and years, he said that the last thing to get to church and the first thing to leave is a person's giving. The last thing to get to church and the first thing to leave. You get somebody mad, get somebody worked off, get somebody just remotely out of sync, and they go, well, I'll show them. I ain't going to give any. You see if I do anymore. Not you people, but other people in other churches. And there, he's like, it's mine. One of my favorite cartoons. I'll probably show it at the generosity banquet. My favorite cartoons is a guy getting baptized. And he's all underwater except he's holding up his wallet. You know, he's like, the last thing, don't do that. And you shouldn't get baptized with your wallet in it anyway. But anyway, it's kind of funny. Remember, it's not automatic. Not automatic. You can be saved a long time and not be generous. You can be saved a long time and not be a good manager of the steward of the gifts and talents and the money that God's given. You can do that. It's not automatic. It's not automatic. We are automatically selfish. Nod your head if you're like, yes, I am. We are automatically take care of me. We're automatically take care of us. We are automatically commitment. Commitment always begins somewhere. Always begins somewhere. So if I just made more, if I just had more free time, no. You start where you are. There's no, well, if I just get a couple of these bills paid off, I could just, you know, if my kid would quit throwing up in the middle of the night, I'd volunteer for something. You start where you are. If I get a little practice, I'll sing. If I get a little, if I had better clothes, you start where you are. Commitment is I start where I am. If Andre and I waited, we'd have been waiting there for how long? You know, we were. Somebody said we didn't win with money. We were kind of weenies with money. We were terrible. And every time, like I said, we were so good at it. We've taken financial peace 3 times, and we were so smart about some things. And so commitment always begins somewhere. Andre, go to the back there. Take my slides off. See if you can fix them, please. I can't read it. I know y'all can't read it. And so let me help you here. One of the things we like to do is almost become part of the lore here at the church is our famous math edition, our math problem. And so some of you that are newer hadn't seen this, so I'll probably call on you. But here we go. It goes like this. You say, preacher, you shouldn't talk about this. You sure shouldn't talk about it for a month. Time, talent, treasure, and testimony. You sure shouldn't talk about it for a month. Because people are going to get mad. Nod your head if that's crossed your mind. And you talk about being faithful to God with your time, your talent, and your treasure, and how you live. People are going to be blah, 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 right? And some of you are looking at me crossways right now going, what a day to come to church. I ain't coming to church till March. And you talk about Easter in March. And you're going to do this and people are going to get mad. Nod your head if you ever heard that. You can't talk about that. You can't talk about it because you get mad. Well, I hear you, and I think you can talk about anything too much, maybe, except for Jesus. But let's just analyze that for a second. Some of you already smiled. Some of you remember last year and the year before that. You know where I'm going. Let's just think about that for a second, okay? You with me? Who gets mad? Who gets mad if you talk about a particular subject? Somebody who's what? Somebody who's not doing what they're supposed to, right? Somebody who's not doing what they're supposed to. So if somebody goes, you know what? You keep talking about giving, I'm going to leave. I'll show you. You know, they got to puff up their chest and all a little bit like that. So let me help you. I don't think you would have been here last time, so I'm going to let Brother Ravo help me here. How many of you think Brother Ravo can help preach you with some math right now? Are you with me? All right, a few of you. All right, here we go, Brother Ravo. Dr. Ravo, Reverend Dr. Uncle Ravo. All right, here we go. So if somebody's not participating, doing what they're supposed to, everybody with me over here, nod your head at me, then they're probably giving what? Probably giving a big fat what? Help me. Zero. Heather said zero. That's ventriloquism. I didn't even see her mouth move. Zero. They're probably giving zero. Zero. If you're taking notes right now, just take out your pen, just write a zero there on the back of the bulletin. Zero. Because if they're mad about giving, they're probably not giving diddly. Everybody with me here? So they're going to take their zero. Sam, you with me? I'm going to get you to double check his math. Yeah, all right, you with me? All right, so they're going to punish us by taking off and leaving. You with me? So they're going to take their nothing with them. All right, now you're studying to be a CPA. I started to say MBA. You're studying CPA. You check Sam's math. Heather, you check his math, all right? So they're giving goose egg. Everybody with me here? Goose egg's Eastern North Carolina word. And they're going to take their goose egg with them, right? So zero, that would be a minus zero. You with me? Zero minus zero is going to be what? Let's see if Heather will speak again. I don't even see his mouth move. Are you with me? Zero. And Sam, you double check the figures here. What is that? Zero. All right, you studying for your CPA license. Zero minus zero in a UT math is what? Zero. Help me now. You preach on finances, stewardship. You talk about God owns everything and people going to get mad. They're going to leave. They're going to take their that they were given. And they're going to take their nothing and leave. Let me help you. If they're moaning and groaning and whining and don't do anything and are critical of everything and are arguing with the fact that Jesus, over 15% of what is recorded in the scripture, we get from him about finances. Over 500 times he spoke on the subject, 500 occurrences where he talked about the subject, either from a financial perspective or just simply a treasure perspective and those kind of things. What we know about that, but he even said what? He said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. To cut all those verses out of the Bible because I'm worried about offending someone who probably isn't giving anything and isn't doing anything, and I'm worried they're going to take their nothing that they're given and tuck it under their arm and walk out the door. Why in the world are we worried about those kind of people? Somebody say amen to that. Amen? Because zero minus zero is zero. Now, I would love for what folks to go, man, I can trust him. I can absolutely, positively trust the Lord. I can start somewhere. See, preacher, if this is so simple and so easy, if Jesus talked about it so much, if it brings so much joy and health and happiness, and the reality is, if this is where we are, then I want to help you. I think one of the very essences of worship is to return to God what he's entrusted to you, whether that's time or talent or treasure or testimony. I think one of the very essences of worship. God, you gave this to me, I give it back to you. I think you do that with children. I think you do that with possessions. Every car we've owned, I think, without exception, we have said, Lord, this is yours. This is your car. The houses we've been able to rent or buy, Lord, this is yours. This is yours. You know, for us, I mean, laptops, tablets, phone, this is yours. This is yours. This is significant. This is yours. We try to raise the children. You hold on to this loosely. Why? Why? Because it just means this is from a good God who gave this to us. So this is one of the things. We do the offering in the middle, or kind of the breakup. One of the reasons, on purpose, because it's just an act of worship. You don't think it's an act of worship? God, I have thought about this and prayed about this. And here you go, Lord. And I give you back, return to you my stuff that you have blessed and given to me. I've offered up my voice to you, my time to you, and this week, and so I want to do this, and this is a part, not the part of worship. So I want to help you. Why don't we do this? Why don't we give? I don't know this in the slides here. People sometimes they don't think they can give and meet their own needs. Let me just be real blunt. I've only got quick points here. People don't think they can give and meet their own needs. It's one of the reasons we're having financial peace. Not everybody's good with money. It's just not everybody's good with their finances. That's okay. Sometimes life happens. Sometimes life happens and smacks us around a lot. But there's some fear there. If I do this, and particularly people who are, you know, charging groceries and McDonald's on the credit card, and, you know, they're the kind of thing, and they're just worried. I don't mean anything ugly about it. I'm just saying they're at the point where they're just terrified about what's next. And so they don't think they can meet their own needs. They don't know how to give, maybe. They don't know how to give. Nobody's ever told them. It's a taboo subject in some place. Somebody's never said to them, hey, you know, this is what you do, man. You know, we're gonna take your paycheck, and we're going to do this. We're going to take this, and we're going to go here. We're going to put God first. Nobody's ever modeled it for them, and that's okay. They don't think they can make their own needs meet or get their ends to meet. They don't know how to give, and they don't plan to give. They don't think about it. They think about it. A buddy of mine, he preaches a message. It's kind of funny. He says, give God what's right, not what's left. That's pretty clever, isn't it? Give God what's right, not what's left. Because here's what we normally, you know, we think about it, man, at church maybe, and we don't, but I've already spent the money, right? I got to get gas today, or I got to pay a bill tomorrow. What? Everybody with me here? So that's what I want to help us. I want to give us a biblical perspective. I want to show us some more things about stewardship this month. But I want to get out of your mind that this is really taboo. It is God growing His children. I don't think God in heaven, God ever worries about raising money. God has everything. He owns everything. He created everything. God doesn't need anything. God loves to what? God loves to grow His children. God loves to raise His children. When you can trust Him, man, you take a next step of faith and obedience. Nod your head if that sounds about right. When you can trust Him that way. So here we go. Here we go. Number one. Look at Mark chapter 12. I got about 10 minutes here. You still with me? Say amen. All right. How many of you like some help here besides me? All right, here we go. God knows. God knows our generosity. Look at verse 41. Jesus sat by the treasury and beheld how the people cast money in the treasury, and many that were rich cast in money. I looked it up online. I got about 6 different answers. I don't know what the thing's called. It is in one sense a box with a Victrola tunnel on the top of it. It's called different things. It looks like a flugelhorn. You see them at the malls now. You don't see them with the horns, but you see them sometimes at Walmart, and they'll be raising money, and they want you to throw your change in there, and it's a giant spinner. And then you put the money in, and it goes, then it just speeds up. And you see kids, you know, hitting up strangers going, give me coins, because they'll just feed them in there. Not for nothing. I've wasted many a minute at one of those things in my 30s and 40s and maybe last week. And, and if you put in a bunch of coins, it's a cacophony. Rah, 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 rah. Now, let me help you. You could be putting in 20 pennies and it make a lot of noise, but there's nothing there. I mean, you just put in 20 cents. You put in a quarter and it just... And it doesn't make a lot of noise, but you actually put in more money. Here's what they had. They had 13 or so, or they had 13 treasuries, and many of those were boxes. And they were boxes, and they had these flugels on the top. They had these places, and you could put your coins in there, and they would drop in, and they'd make a lot of noise. So you would have rich people just bring a bag of coins. It may not be worth a whole lot, but they would bring them, and then they make sure that they would do what? They'd throw them in there, clang, 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 raw, 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 raw. And the sound's just roaring throughout that part of the temple courtyard. And everybody go, man, somebody just gave a lot of dough. Do you hear that sound? And so if you wanted to, you do what? You just feed a coin, feed a coin, feed a coin. And everybody started looking, oh, yeah, that guy's giving a bunch of stuff. Listen, I think that's all that noise. Raw, 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 ding, ding. Again, he might have been giving... the Jewish money, or excuse me, the Roman money system was divided up. You could have a lot of coins and not have anything. You could have what they call leptons, and you took 128 leptons just to make a denarius. Denarius is what you needed just for like a day's wage. It wouldn't have been a whole lot of money. So Jesus is there, and he's just watching. Jesus is not alone. People came, gave to be seen. So he's there. He's observing. He sees this lady come up because he knows the lady. He says certain, so he's certain that he knows her. He's omniscient, but maybe they knew her. Said she was poor, destitute. And she's basically got a couple of farthings, a couple of these leptons. Took 128 of these to make enough to what we would call a denarius, a day's kind of wage. She had enough money for a little bit of bread. She's poor, she's widowed, nobody's helping her. It comes up and Jesus says what? These are light coins. If you'll come by the office, I've got a few. I'll show them to you. She puts them in, and let me help you. And they barely make a sound. They're just so light. She puts them in. Only the omniscient God would have heard, would have known what had happened there. Because she put them in, they're so light, they don't make the rah, rah, rah. There's no handful of coins for everybody to listen to the cacophony. And he gets up. This woman has given more than everybody I've seen today. And his disciples are going, "That can't be true, Lord. We have heard the noise all day. We have heard the rah, rah, rah as the coin slid down." What do you mean? I think there's three lessons here I want to offer them to you. Number one, God knows what we have to give. God knows. God knows what we have to give, what we have to give. God knows the wealthy and God knows the poor. God knows. God knows if you're flush or if you're broke. God knows. God knows. God knows where you're at. Now, that's comfort, and it's positive and a negative, isn't it? Because sometimes we act like we're always broke and we're not. Sometimes we act like we're flush and we're broke. Anybody been on either end of that thing, right? Especially when we get around family. We act like things are better than we are, right? And sometimes we're tempted to do that. God knows where you are. God knows exactly where. I want to help you here. I want to help you. He didn't ask this woman to give more than she could have. He knows exactly where she was at. God knows what we have to give with. He knew the wealthy. He knows the poor. Let me help you. Secondly, God knows what we give. God knows what we have to give. And God knows what we give. Time, talent, treasure, and testimony. God knows what we give. God knows what we have to give. It says God knows what we give. I inverted those. See, what do you mean? God knows what you throw on the plate. God knows the service you do here. God knows. I thought, and I was thinking through. I mean, there are things that happen around here. Man, nobody has a clue about. There are people that do things that work out in the yard. There are people that do things through the heat of the summer. There are people that just stuff that just goes on that no one has. I mean, God knows what you have done. God knows what you give. Every now and then somebody will say, "Well, you know, they don't need this, don't need that." You misunderstand. Giving to a need is sympathy and compassion. Giving to God is obedience. And this woman gave because she was obedient. She didn't give out of abundance. She didn't give because she had everything figured out. She was poor. She was widowed. Let me help you. She checked all the boxes. We just said, "Sis, just keep your money in your pocket. In fact, let me take you to Subway and get you a good hot meal." And she did what? She said, no, "I want to be obedient. I want to give to God." Give to God. He knows what we give. He knows what we give. Hey, Pastor, you make a big deal of saying you don't know what people give. I work crazy hard not to. Crazy hard not to. Every now and then one of you will come up to me and tell me, I'm like, "Please don't tell me." Every now and then Glenda get all hot and crazy and excited just trying to figure out things and all. And she'd start and I'd say, stop. I don't want to know. Because when I know and you know that I know, you treat me differently. And when you think that I know, you treat me differently. And I treat, and all this kind of, I don't want to know. I'm doing my best not to know. And we were building the app and all this kind of thing. And they kept saying stuff. And I said, "You got to do this way because I don't want to have access that I don't want to know. I don't want to know." And they said, "Well," I said, "I don't care what every other church does. I don't want to know." When the supervisors called me, I said, "Look, you're not listening." And I said, I don't want to know. Let me help you. Big guy don't want to know. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows. He knows what we give. He knows what we give. He's sitting there. Somebody says, it does not matter. I give you Exhibit A, Mark chapter 12. Jesus sits by the treasury. Jesus sits by the treasury. He knows. The word translated might there, I said, was the lepton there. 128 of those to make it up. She had enough to give a scrap by a scrap of bread. And she did what? She gave everything. My Eastern North Carolina upbringing says, give God one and keep God, keep one. One for me, one for you. Anybody play that game? I mean, that'd been Rodney's first impulse, right? Because I got to eat. God don't want me to starve. Nod your head if you're with me here, right? God don't want me to starve. One for God, one for me. That's what she do. Both of them in. Both of them in. The woman was known for the amount and the percentage. Here's where I get really excited. Here's where I get really excited. How did she give more than everybody there? Because she gave 100%. I'm this, I make this, I make that, whatever. If you gave 11% and somebody else gave 10%, in God's sight, you gave more than they did, even though the amount may be different. Isn't that cool? I go, my fixed income, on my income here, on my reduced salary, on this, on the, whatever it is, God is looking at what? God is looking at where I started. And he says, man, look at that woman. Even though she gave what was so far beneath everyone else, man, she gave this and she gave all that she had and she gave more than everybody else. See, there's dignity in what you do. There's dignity in what you do. I love the old silly story about the guy who was trying to raise money. You got time for just one silly story? You with me here? I got lots of frowns out here right now. Let me see if I can make you smile for a second. The guy was a small town, so he goes up, and there's a lawyer. He's known for being crooked, but he's really, really wealthy. And so the guy goes up to him, and he says, sir, we're raising money over here, and I thought you might like to contribute. And the mean lawyer stands up, and he says, sir, he says, do you know about my family? He said, I don't have any idea, sir. He said, do you know that my brother has a rare disease with an unbelievably costly treatment? And that for him just to live is $10,000 a treatment. He has to have several of those a month. And the guy starts stammering. He says, moreover, do you know about the medical state of my mother? He said, she right now is on a transplant list. And her medical bills have exceeded $500,000 at this point. And she's not even had the transplant. And the guy says, sir, I had no idea. I'm so sorry. And the lawyer puts his finger in his chest and says, and if I won't help them, what makes you think I'll help you? Some of you explain that to your neighbors. And God knows. The woman was known. The woman was known. Some of you, I challenged you last year. We spent a whole message. I challenged you last year. If you tried 10%, try 11 this year. If you tried 11, try 12. If you tried 12, try 13. So I won't know what you do. But God will. We have a dear brother friend. He's trying his best to get to 90%. He wants to live off 10. He's just as crazy as he can be. He's supporting missions and missionaries and doing this and doing that. And every time I think he makes some kind of crazy move, man, God just blesses him. And it's amazing. He's having the biggest fun, most fun in his life. Most fun in his life. Wherever you are, man, God. Say, well, preacher, I can't. Start where you are. Start where everybody starts somewhere. The woman was known for the amount and the percentage. Our generosity so many times represents us and the Lord. Our generosity represents us and the Lord. You know why? You know why I get a kick out of a peanut butter pie or something like that? Is you or anything like that? Somebody made it. Somebody made it. And by the way, if you bought a store one and gave it to me, don't tell me because you'll ruin me. Somebody thought enough of me, they stood there and love it. It represents them. It represents them. I've been to some of your homes and you've made this wonderful meal or hors d'oeuvres. I mean, I'm just gobsmacked, man. You took your time, your life, and you did that, man. It's amazing. I would give my time and my talent, my treasure, and my testimony, man. That represents me. represents me. Maybe Jeremiah said years ago at a conference I attended, he said a pastor was, they were getting ready to build, and a lady in the church came up and gave him a check and an envelope and said, I've given this, and said, I hope it'll be all right. And the pastor looked at her and said, it will if it represents you. She thought about it for a minute, snatched it out of his hand, took off. Pastor was confused. A few days later, she came up and said, I've written another check. Said, I think this will be all right. He didn't open it, nothing like that. He looked at her and said, well, it will be if it represents you. Furious. She grabbed the check, tore it up, took off. She came back the next Sunday. Different demeanor, different smile on her face. But I brought this one. This represents me. This represents me. Our generosity. We give to what we love. We contribute our time, talent, treasure, money, the things that matter to us. They represent us. Number three, and I'm done. He cares. He cares. I'm done. He cares. Look at verse 41. You with me still? Say amen. If you're feeling the rub right now, it's a good thing. God's saying, hey, hey, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. This matters. Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld. The idea is to look intently how the people cast money in. Many that were rich cast in much. He cares. He cares about our giving. I get excited. I get excited when I see young people get involved because they're tuning their heart to the things that matter. I get excited when a young couple that I know gotta be thin, we're gonna obey the Lord. We're gonna be faithful. We're not gonna miss church. We're gonna get involved. I get excited when someone who could be stocking away a lot in their middle years, you know what? I'm gonna be just goofy generous. Happy as I can be. He cares. I've thought about some of our anchor people here. Thought about some of those who can't attend like they used to. I've smiled this week and last week thinking about their investment in the work of the Lord. God cares. He's never missed a drop of water given His name. He's never missed a bird that's fallen out of the sky. He cares. Cares about how you manage your time, your talent, your treasure. Matters. It matters. Years ago, I served with a man named Henry Horn. Henry, a few years ago, his wife succumbed to cancer. Even though Andre and I didn't know each other at the time, through the years, they'd struck up a friendship. Even though it's a long time since I'd served there. My wife wept. And Lori succumbed to cancer. We were not able to attend the service. I got to see Henry right before then, and then a few months after, he actually had me in to preach. Sat in his house, sat on the couch. My mind flooded with things. I looked at a, I call it a china cabinet, but it was a kind of an open one where you put your knickknacks and stuff on it. I remember their son, or seemingly their daughter, had decided to climb it. When she climbed it, the whole thing just came over, and so many of the knickknacks and bric-a-brac broke. Daughter was okay, but Henry was furious, and Lori, mom, just kind of laughed and said, that's less we have to dust. Henry preached a series of messages like I'm going to preach this month, similar ideas, right? I was a young man right out of college. He preached to about 300 people that morning, about 280 frowny faces. He wanted to go great guns for missions. He wanted to add staff. He was talking to people who money was taboo, finances, stewardship, all the whole deal. He looked at them. I'll never forget it. He whipped out his checkbook, pulled out a pen, wrote his name at the bottom of the check and said, here's what we'll do. He said, if you'll trust God this month, don't be crazy with your finances. If you'll trust God this month, he said, and you still aren't paying your bills, he said, you just see me. At the end of the month, and I'll make up whatever you like. Clicked his pen for emphasis, acted like he was writing his name, and held it up. He said, how many of you will take the challenge? And if you still need something, you'll come see me. 20, 30, 40 people nodded their head at him. I'll do that. And Henry, as deftly as I've ever seen anyone, took his checkbook, put it in his pocket, unclicked his pen, stuck it in his lapel coat, the lapel of his coat, and said, why in the world would you trust me and not trust your Heavenly Father? And as only the Holy Spirit can do, conviction came over the room. By the way, the church launched into a new era of generosity that month. As people said, I will trust him. Because God cares about me. He cares about my giving. And I'd ask you this morning, especially those of you who are already on the journey, keep it up. Keep it up. Those of you that are timid and scared and nervous, start somewhere. Start somewhere. Time, my talent, my treasure, my testimony. You can trust him. You absolutely trust him. He sat by the treasury. He watched. He listened. He got up, dusted himself off, and said, this woman gave 100%. She gave more than everybody here. And not seems as great thing. Wow. Would you pray with me right now? Our heads are bowed. We cut off the camera there. Thank you, guys. Come this morning. You've listened real well. Thank you.